Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome back to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, we're back.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, it's been too long.
It has been too long. A lot has happened since we last spoke.
A lot's happened, though, in the world, hasn't it? I mean, and yeah. At the moment, there's some horrible disasters and, you know, that it feels like things are just going a bit out of control, to be fair.
Yeah. Let's not start the podcast in that way, though. I think, like, welcome back, everyone. The world has gone to shit is sort of what you've just done there.
Well, yeah.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, but we're here to fix some of it.
Yeah, I like that. As you were saying that, you were about to be like, we're here to fix some of it.
Well, we can't do anything about floods and pestilence and that sort of thing, and those, and sort of some of the really awful things that have happened.
Don't name them. Don't you? We've just been like, let's not be too glum. And you're like, well, let me just rattle off some of the things that are terrible and awful.
Sorry.
To be fair, I was thinking though, I had a dream the other day, which I told you about, didn't I? It was actually a nightmare.
Yeah.
Where we went to go and see some comedy. The warm-up act was kind of bad. Anyway, long story short, the actual main act never came out. And my mum was causing a kerfuffle. Mum, you were causing a kerfuffle.
I was.
And a stewardess had to come and confiscate your vapes. you were vaping so much. And some other woman came out to you and was like, oh, let me get a hit of that. And you were like, yeah, fine. You gave her your vape. She took a big fat toke. You took it back, toked it yourself, and then put it in your bag. When the stewardess came over and was like, excuse me, can you stop vaping in here? She took your bag. You had about 6 Lost Marys in there. And I just think, like, that is a nightmare. That I woke up, I was sweating, and I was like, why was that so intense? And I just think, like, the last time we spoke on the podcast, that would never have crossed my mind. Like, I don't think I would have ever thought about vapes. I don't think I've ever thought about you being addicted to them. Have you ever vaped in your entire life?
Absolutely not, no.
No, crazy.
You know what? They're horrible. They're sweet. They're like sweets, aren't they?
Yeah, they're delicious.
Ooh.
It's mental. Like some of the names, Blue Razz Lemonade. No, what even is that?
If it
what
was
does that mean?
Like Stilton or...
Oh, my... or Werther's Original.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to smoke Werther's Original. And only if it was sugar-free.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, which, yeah. Just for people that don't know, Mum...
What
are you carrying? Oh my God, you carry two things. You would love this, right? You would love two vapes in your bag. You would love a mustard vape,
oh,
right?
Yes,
wouldn't you?
Definitely.
You'd love
strong
a mustard
English
vape.
Mustard, yeah.
And strong English
piccalilli.
Mustard vape. Yeah, or a piccalilli vape. Mm-hmm. And which, Mum, you have been known to carry mustard around with you.
This is true.
Right?
Especially when
true.
I go abroad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't have the good English shit there,
do
they?
No, I get it. I carry the tubes.
Yeah. You don't like carry a pot. That would be a bit insane.
No, because it might open. But the
exactly. And you carry around with you sugar-free Werther's Originals.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Sorry to dub you in, mate, but that is the truth.
Only recent, because I don't actually like sweet things that much, but I do in case
they're sugar-free.
I'm with people who might want one.
Yes,
mainly.
And yeah, and
I spend all my time pushing them onto other people who don't want them. And
you do, yeah, yeah, including me.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm yet to have one of those, but they are delicious, aren't they?
They are quite nice. Yeah.
Mum, for people that haven't listened to the podcast before, there might be some people who will be like, welcome back. This is the first time I've listened to the podcast.
Yeah, who are we?
Who are we? What do we do?
Yes.
Yeah, talk to me.
Well, I'm your mum and I'm a sex therapist.
Correct.
And when you were a little boy, you used to tell all your friends at school that I was a sex therapist, and they used to come around for tea and go, oh, are you a therapist? And you used to give them sex advice when you got a bit older.
I did. Yeah, I'd...
Some
sort of TV show or something, I don't know. Mm. Something. Someone told me about something like that. Mm. People keep saying to me, like, oh, you know, I can't wait for the new series and that sort of stuff. And they're like, oh, you know, are you looking forward to it? And I'm like, I haven't seen much of the show. It's a bit of a busman's holiday.
Yes. Yes.
But it's true. Mm. I mean, it's like, why would I, you know, why would I watch a show about my life?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, true. In some ways.
Yeah. It's not your life. You are not like Gillian Anderson.
I looked at the first episode and I thought, oh, well, that's offensive. To me. Yeah.
Why?
I don't do those things. I don't have those penises everywhere in the house.
Yeah. What you do have in the background at the moment is Thunderbird 1. You've got Emperor Zurg from Toy Story, and is that the TARDIS police box
and
as well?
Batman.
There's a skull over there. That's
scary.
Should
I get your large penguin as well?
Excuse me.
There's a large penguin on the window.
Get the penguin out. Get the penguin.
Shall I go and get it?
Get the penguin, because this is a nice segue to tell people that if you want to, you can now watch the podcast. We've got a YouTube channel. The Real Sex Education.
Yeah,
Mum is now holding up a penguin that's in the corner of my room where she records. So, okay, listen, this is what I was hoping you'd say is, on the podcast, we talk about everything sex and relationships. We interview guests and we do deep dives and stuff. And lastly, what we do is we answer your listener questions. And obviously, because we've been gone for so long, there's quite a... There's a backlog and we've got to get through them. So today we've got two questions that both mention icks. So I feel like we should, before we answer the questions, let's talk a bit about icks. So Mum, firstly, what is the ick?
So basically an ick is when you suddenly, and the point about it is it's sudden, you suddenly get this feeling of dislike about something or somebody, or you just get turned completely off. And then it's quite hard to get back from that. Some people seem to manage it, but it is something that it's quite difficult to get over. It's a proper, eek. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. That's nice. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's due to things that are quite trivial. So people talk about that, you know, like, I mean, can you, like, some examples that I've written down here, you know, I say trivial, poor hygiene is maybe one of them.
That's,
some people talk about that.
Big one.
The way people laugh sometimes, things like that, like a bad fashion sense, loud chewing, stuff like that can like do it. One thing I just want to make very clear is sometimes online I see people say, you know, he was really controlling, or he was, or they were really possessive, or all that sort of stuff. That, like, what an ick. And it was like, that's more a red flag.
That's a red flag, yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, you know, a red flag is a genuine warning sign, or like, indicator that this person might not be someone that you want to, you know, be with long term.
Yeah.
So we've talked about some of the examples. Now's the big question, Mum. Have you ever got on the ick before?
Oh, I got the ick the other day. Yeah.
With who and what about?
That's classified information. If you really dig into it, sometimes there are things which are so horrible that you've repressed them. And so you don't necessarily remember them. Things that have happened to you, or somebody's behaviour, or something somebody does, like, you know, your great Auntie Ethel who eats badly, you know, and it really, yeah. and it always made you think, oh God, I hated this at meal times. And I, you know, not me personally, but one thinks that, but you forget about it, but you're kind of, it's so traumatic, your body remembers. And so when you come across somebody that does that, you get the ick. And I think there are sometimes traits and behaviors that people have, because we don't realize that anything that's pre-speech or anything that is so traumatic, you're trying to repress it, or you just, or it's just cut off from your memory, your body remembers. So it can suddenly give you the ick when it comes back.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a red flag, because it's saying, hey, there's something like that other horrible thing you had in the past. And it's so hard, therefore, to get over it, because it's kind of deep and very real. Yeah.
What, okay, this is crazy. So can you, an example that someone told me once, which I found so funny, was she went on a date with this guy, and it was going fine, but she suddenly realized, like, this was only a few weeks ago, so it's like the middle of summer, and he was just wearing like loads of layers. He had like two or three layers on, maybe even four. I think he's wearing a coat, and
was it
she
you?
Just no. Absolutely. Well, I know, but. And she just texts being like, oh, I've got the ick. Like, this guy's just got so many layers on. Mm. And it's really giving me the ick. And they were having a fine time and stuff. And she was like, yeah, I just can't go on another date with him. He's got. So I'm just trying to work out, what's the deep set trauma or whatever going on there? Like, why is she so hung up on someone wearing loads of layers? Well, was she cold once?
You don't know what the association is. You don't know why. Because, I mean, you know, right, with that kind of thing, it's quite likely that you've been brought up to have a mum who says, no, don't put all those things on, let the sun get to your body, or something like that. Or, you know, there'll be something really, really trivial and minor in your background, but it's like a rule. You know, things that your parents say to you and things that you grow up with, you think they do become kind of a rule for you. So when somebody violates that rule, then you can quite often get the ick.
Explain this to me. Mm. Something that gives me the ick is when someone presses the, you know, the button at like traffic lights, when someone presses the wait button. Gives me the ick.
Well, I'm not surprised, because when you were little, we used to go to nursery and things, and or school, and there'd be a great fight to be first to get to the button, and people would be in trouble for pressing it when it wasn't their turn, or there'd be, you know, or there'd be remarks made. Yeah, well, you know, parents would be going, it's not your turn to press the button yet. And like all the families had this thing about taking turns. And so it got to the point where it was saying, like, only the adults were allowed to press the button.
What? And this has clearly been, is so deep down.
You
because
see?
Literally, and this
we
is the
didn't
thing.
Rehearse this. Tell the world we did not rehearse this.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Okay, wow. Because honestly, so obviously most of the time I'm giving myself the ick. I'm like, I'm pressing the wait button at the traffic lights and I'm like... Mm.
Yeah, because you know there's something traumatic associated with it.
My God.
Because I know that when you were little, you very much didn't like it if people were arguing around you or anything like that. So that sort of thing, where all that was going on, because you're a nice, sweet, kind, lovely, gentle person. So when that happened, that would have definitely...
It would have rather rocked my boat. Mm. You're absolutely right about that. And that just reminds me again, I just want everyone at home to know this as well, that once we went to my school went to an old people's home, I think, to do like a talent show for them.
Really?
And or at least they went to, you know the church that was in our little village? Like they were all piled in there. We did a little talent show for them. I can't remember what my talent was or anything. But at the end, we all had to line up and it was, don't make that face. Mum was like, talent. And then we all lined up and they asked us what we wanted for Christmas. And I got 5 house points because I said, world peace. I think I was year 5 or year 6.
I didn't know
and
that.
I was like, yeah, that's quite good, isn't it? And my teacher was so happy, because obviously we were going down the line, people being like, I want a horse, or I want a, I don't know.
I want a horse. Blimey.
Sorry. I mean, what kind of school I went to, I don't know. No, it wasn't like that. But, you know, someone was like, I want a PlayStation 2, or I want a this, that, and the other. And I was like, I knew with that crowd it would bang. And, you know, the old people that, you know, could pay attention, loved it. But anyway.
Are you now going to say that world peace gives you the ick?
No, but me as a kid gave me the ick. When I think back to that, I'm like, fuck
you. No, you were lovely.
Oh, that's very sweet. Okay, so you kind of answered my question for me, but this is a question that I get asked to ask you all the time.
Ooh, I like that.
I mean, and I think we've already answered it. Mum, is the ick a real thing? Is it real?
Well, yes.
This is crazy.
Given what we've just said, you can tell it is, because the thing about it is, I mean, when I get the ick, you know, my body is reacting really strongly. It feels really uncomfortable. There is something going on where I think, I cannot bear this. I want to avoid it, whatever happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that feeling. So if that's your ick, that's the ick. And you really, really, oh, no, not this. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and you're wanting, and you know, you're wanting the person to do something different, you know, so that you can just get over it. But they're doubling down on it. And sometimes if you say to somebody, oh, please don't do that, they do it more.
So do you ever talk about this in therapy? Like, has anyone come and been like, oh, you know, I've got the ick or whatever? I mean, I know that sounds like quite a lot, but
no.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's just not some colloquialism that we all talk about these days. It is, you can be like, okay, I'm going to sit here and take this seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, once or twice it's actually happened while people have been, a couple have been in therapy, and one of them has come on their own and said, oh, you know what's happened? And then they've got the ick.
I've got the ick.
And it's just,
wow.
And, I mean, I have to say it's quite difficult not to laugh sometimes when people say that, because it sounds comical, but actually they're really serious. So sorry, I do not laugh. Yeah, I do.
No, but you know, come on, we've got to.
You know,
it's sort of funny.
Well, quite often it is quite comical, but actually, you know, the underlying stuff is not comical at all. It's really serious.
But that's why I love life. You know, I just think sometimes it's like, this is very serious, and the top line is just very funny.
Well, it's always good to have a sense of humour.
Exactly. Well, okay, this is really crazy. I'm going to read out this first question
that
somebody
can't wait.
Sent through to us. I think this was through our Google form. Oh my God, guys,
yes.
I haven't even told you you can ask us questions yet.
This is exciting.
Okay, you can ask us questions. You know, send them to us on Twitter, Instagram. We're at RealSexEdPod. Send them to us on email, podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's. You can also send them via our Google form. That will be in the bio of this episode and the bio of our Instagram, probably the bio of our Twitter as well. And it's like this Google form. You can like write your question there. It will ask you for an email, but that's just for Google. I don't know what they do with that. We won't see that email. It's a totally anonymous Google form. So if you want to be anonymous, send it in that way. And either way, unless you say otherwise, we'll keep your name and anonymity safe. Anyway, this is someone who did exactly that, I think. Here we go. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I've been dating someone new for almost a month and a half now.
Woo-hoo.
He's handsome, has a good job, and is very forward with me. But I'm worried I've got the ick. I thought it was because he eats meat and I'm a vegetarian, but now I know it's because every meal he'll start using his hands to eat. I really like going out for dinners, and that's what most of our dates have been so far. But lately, I've been suggesting we do anything else. I really like him, but the thought of eating with him gives me anxiety now.
Mm.
I'm avoiding eating with him. How can I stop this?
Tell him.
Yeah, maybe just tell him.
Because, I mean, this is a really good example. I mean, that's another one where you've probably been brought up to believe that using a knife and fork is really important. So, I mean, I tell you, one thing that gives me the ick is people who leave their knife sticking out of their, you know, they hold their knife like that.
Like mum is holding her knife like a pencil.
Yeah. And
I know a lot of people who do that.
I know. It gives me the ick because I was brought up very strictly.
Yes. To not do that.
And I passed it on to my children.
Yeah, you did. To be honest, I also look, and I don't say anything, but I go,
cover the end of your knife and hold it like this. I'm now holding out with the end covered. So that's how you know, rather than
holding it like a pencil.
Yeah. So what I don't like is people sticking their hands into the middle of everybody's food and helping themselves.
It's
fine if it's on your plate. You know, it's not so bad if it's on your plate and you're picking up the odd chip or gnawing your way through a rib. I'm warming to this, aren't I? This isn't what the person wants to know.
Yeah, no, but the things you've just mentioned, chips, ribs, probably a slice of pizza, all those things maybe are meant to be eaten with your hands.
Casserole.
I just get the
mashed potato. No.
Yeah, no.
No.
And it just, I don't know. I'm wondering whether this person is, maybe I'm extrapolating too much here, but, you know, because every meal he'll start using his hands to eat. Every meal? That's a bit crazy. And also when you're out for dinners, she's like mentioning that they do it out for dinner as well. It's kind of like, you know, listen, the reason this question triggered me is because you've seen the way I eat. And, you know, I can get, things can get a bit messy with me. Mm-hmm. I also famously, you know, lick plates clean, which I think is a compliment to the chef, to be honest. But it does look a bit weird when you're in the middle of Dishoom.
Would you do that at the Ritz?
Well, that's why I can't do that at the Ritz again, because I was kicked out for doing it last time. They banned me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bugger. No, but would I do it at the Ritz? I probably wouldn't. But would I think about doing it? Yes. You know, I really would.
But people are, but you know, it's much more okay. I mean, it's very sort of French to use your bread to mop up your sauce or gravy or whatever, isn't it? And instead of licking the plate, you can use the bread, and that would be time when you were allowed to. You also tip up. Are you one of those ones that tips up your cereal and bowl and drinks the milk?
Obviously. Well, yeah. I'd lick it like a cat. Mm. I'm like dipping my tongue into it. That. Ah, do you know what? I just gave loads of people the ick. just by that noise alone. So they should tell them, basically, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, you know, especially when we're out for dinner, sometimes I find it a little bit, you know, it's not great. Let's use our knives and forks as much as we can.
Well, maybe not. It's not great, but just I was brought up this way, and so I feel it, and so so it really bothers me. So be open and honest about why.
Yeah.
And
say, maybe that makes me crazy. You know, maybe, but I can't help the way I feel. These are deep, ingrained things in me.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. You know. You can make a joke of it. But then if the person continues to do it or doesn't sort of, remind themselves or fight, you know, because most people who are trying to change it would go, oh, sorry, use my hand again. You know, they try and stop. But if they double down on it, then I think we're talking red flag territory.
Red flag territory. Oh, yeah. My God. Big words.
Yeah. Because sometimes people do it deliberately, you know, to wind you up. And then, you know, they can do one, really.
Yeah, they can bloody do one.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. Well, just before we move on, though, because a lot of people say this to me, and I just want to get your thoughts on this, because this might be the case. If you like someone enough, some of their bad little habits they do, you know, you're like, oh, well, they're just little quirks and I'll look past them.
Absolutely.
So do you believe that, though? Because this sounds like a little bad quirk of his is becoming the ick, whereas actually if they like this person enough, then maybe it would be fine.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
I would say the problem is not with him. It's with them, with the partner.
Yeah, and their...
Because it's the partner's ick. So they could do some work to try and make it less. But at the moment, it's so bad it's getting in the way of the relationship. Therefore, it has to be discussed.
But what I mean is, people always say if you like them enough, those things wouldn't give you the ick. Do you think that's true or no?
They're
going to give you the ick regardless.
Because the ick isn't rational.
The ick isn't rational.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Stick
about
that on
the
a
ick.
Billboard.
Oh, well, you should. I mean, it's not because you don't set out to look for problems in somebody. This has just come to you out of the blue. Mm-hmm. So. It's not that you're being unreasonable. It's you know, and with the ick, you've tried. You want to get rid of the feeling. You don't. It's horrible. No one wants the ick. So you're trying to get rid of it, but you can't. So that's why you have to try and do something about it.
You're right. It is irrational. Like I said, with my ick, the wait button thing. I've been hit by four cars because I haven't been pressing the traffic lights. You know, and that's irrational. But at least I didn't press the button. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't want to get the ick. But I have spent 8 weeks in hospital.
Intensive care, yeah.
This is a second question, another one from the Google Form gang. So, you know, check that bio. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this verbatim. All right?
Okay.
Hi there. I'm a woman and my partner, also a woman, and when I started to go down on her the other day, I tried to tease her.
What was that? And I'm a woman.
Yeah, this is what I mean. You know, I've read it verbatim.
Yeah, okay.
Things have got a bit crazy here. So two women. One of them tried to go down. The other one the other day. I tried to tease her. I left the room briefly, which I thought would be hot and make her want it more. However, she took that as something wrong with her. She told me this, the most recent time I tried to go down on her, she said she thought that maybe I left because I thought she was dirty and unclean. I told her that I do love going down on her. I just thought she preferred other ways to orgasm via toys and fingers because she tends towards those options to finish rather than through oral. She also prefers giving, so I suppose I haven't been initiating oral as much on her. However, I made assumptions, and now she doesn't believe me when I say I do love eating her out. How would you suggest navigating this, as I don't want her to keep getting the ick when I'm in the motion of going down on her? I feel if we can't get through this, then we'll be lacking intimacy in our relationship, and it'll become a massive problem.
Yeah, well, it sounds like her partner has, you know, real concerns about her personal hygiene, and maybe somebody said something negative at some point in the past. But lots and lots of women are very negative about their genitals. They don't like the smell, the taste, their appearance. They have very negative feelings about that and feel very, very self-conscious when they're having oral sex. So this was the case. And also, I mean, if you get up and walk away when you're stimulating somebody, I'm thinking they might be not only very frustrated, but super hurt. So
you've got to, I know she was trying to try some sort of sexy fun there. You've got to signpost that hard. You've got to like really play the role of that. You can't just be like, get up and leave.
I know. I was thinking that she was like teasing with a tongue or something. I didn't think she was teasing by getting up and walking out.
I think we've got to go back to, teasing and flirting 101 here.
Yeah.
You've got to have a serious think because mum, close your ears. I once had a girlfriend who every now and then we'd be kissing and then she would like pull away and I'd be like, but she would give me the eyes like, you know, like I'm only pulling away to like make you want it more. That worked. This is literally, if we'd been kissing and she'd gotten up out of and left the room, I would have been like, well, she doesn't want to kiss anymore, you know? Sorry, that was a bit of a real example, but I think you've got to signpost these things well. And I've got to say, ex-girlfriend signposted it very well. Yeah, so that didn't work. What else have we got? Also, I think the use of the ick here is interesting because I think in this scenario, it's not like this irrational thing. The use of the ick here is sort of like I'm now not interested in sex and stuff. I'm like, which is a slightly different use of the ick.
I don't think it's an ick at all. I think this is.
Do you know what I mean?
Not
I
an
think
ick.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think, and so I kind of wanted to highlight that to be like, we haven't, if we're going to be super strict on what the ick is.
Yeah, I think we should be
this
strict.
Isn't it.
Mm. Because you can apply it to anything otherwise, can't you? You can say
exactly. And so basically, I think this is just your partner has gone, has just been like, oh no, I don't want to do this anymore because, now they're self-conscious, which is unfortunate, but I guess they need to talk about this. I guess there's a lot of assumptions going on from both people in this scenario. Like, the person who's written in just assumed that her partner would like her to leave halfway through.
Why would you assume that, though?
I don't know, because maybe, yeah, I don't know. But then also assumed, I mean, quite interestingly here, like, oh, I just assumed that they preferred finishing with their hands or toys, which maybe is like a, this is, I suppose, sometimes is the problem maybe with when you guys create a bit of a sexual script and it's the same sort of thing every time, you then start to assume things and that's where things maybe fall down.
Yeah, and I think in this case, the reason that she probably finishes that way is because she doesn't want, you know, because she's embarrassed about the oral sex and concerned about hygiene and all the rest of it and probably thinks, oh, well, my partner doesn't want to be doing this, so don't let's force them to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Which I understand that as an assumption, as a thing to assume, but like sometimes, you know, you're going to lose out on some extra fun there.
Well, it doesn't mean they don't like it because they're doing that. They're being thoughtful. So the assumption, oh well, she prefers doing it with toys. Maybe not.
And also at the what's really interesting is she said she also prefers giving, so I suppose I haven't been initiating aura as much on her. This is something I wanted to bring up with you. Mm-hmm. It always interests me, this one, because my fear with people that are always like, oh no, I much prefer giving, is that sounds like such an amazing, lovely thing. Because it's like, oh God, aren't they chivalrous? They just prefer giving. That's what really turns them on. What I really think, if I'm being completely honest, is often happening in that case. And you can forgive, you can, you know, I was going to say castrate me if I'm wrong. Jesus. What? But anyway, you can have, I don't know, have a go at me if I'm wrong. But I think that is some, that is a case of someone who is too scared to ask what they want. Mum's got the penguin out again.
The penguin's going to adjudicate.
Oh, here we go. The penguin's going to adjudicate. Mm. So the penguin's back and the penguin's going to listen to this and decide castration or fine. Mm-hmm. I think when people say, often when people say, oh, I just prefer giving, that's because they're too scared to ask for what they want, or they don't know what they want.
Yeah.
They literally, and for me, it sounds like this person has, because of the clean and dirty stuff, they have a lot of sexual hang-ups already. And unfortunately, leaving the room, like, you may have played into them. And in the space that you left in that room, that was flooded with all of your partner's, like, you know, mental hang-ups and stuff.
Well, I'm getting a bit of red flag while you're talking, actually.
From me?
No, not from you.
Oh, thank God. By the way, I thought the penguin had adjudicated. No, what do you think?
Penguin says you can have a mackerel. Penguin's agreeing.
Okay.
It's going to about to slap you with
no.
a herring.
I kind of like this penguin. We might have to make him a regular thing.
Yeah.
Penguin says you can. Okay, next time I make a big outlandish claim, I'll wave my flag, my little red flag, and then we can get the penguin out and he can tell me, well, I'm having a mackerel or a, what, something bad?
Yeah.
A piece of coal in my stocking. I don't know.
Oh.
We'll work it out. Mm. So, sorry, what were you going to say?
So, the thing is, it sounds as though actually the person writing the message might well have been aware of all these things, because the hygiene hang up is about the most common reason people don't have sex. People push one another away just because they're zooming in when they feel they have coffee breath or something like that. So
yeah,
people
yeah.
push their partner away, and this person seems to know that the other person is very concerned about hygiene. And so walking out of the room and then saying, oh, but this is, you know, but it's your problem that I did that. It's a bit gaslighty, really. And then maybe writing to us and probably wanting us to sort of say, oh, yeah, they've got a problem. Maybe that's even more gaslighty.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I really do apologise, listener.
Yeah.
Correspondent, if that's not the case, but
correspondent, our woman on the ground,
in
amongst it, entering rooms, going down on people, and immediately leaving again.
Yeah,
too hairy in there. Sorry, it got too. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I'll cut that. Too hairy in there.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Leave it in. Why not?
All right. So, what would you say in this scenario, though? Because it sounds like now there's a bit of a breakdown in communication.
Well, that's not uncommon, and
it
in a sex therapy situation with couples, we're trying to encourage couples to take responsibility for their own experience. So you very slowly, gradually get used to, you know, asking for what you want, being prepared to be knocked back as well, but being prepared that the other person might not be in the mood for that today or whatever.
Yeah.
But being responsible for what happens and how it happens. And, you know, the teasing and getting up and walking out without somebody knowing what's going on is a little bit as if this is a move that you haven't discussed in advance. I might do something that will surprise you today. Might have been a good thing to say rather than just to get up and walk out, because you're leaving somebody there with their own negative thoughts. And this is somebody we already know has some negative thoughts. So so rather than kind of encouraging them by walking out, perhaps, and then saying, oh, you're being too sensitive, or, I mean, I'm
whatever.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you could be thinking about what would it, if I do this thing, what's it going to be like for that person? Whenever you do something surprising, where consent hasn't been given, what's it going to be like for them? How are they going to take this? That's maybe what you need to consider.
I guess that it sounded like there needs to be more play involved. It's got to be like, if I'm going to leave this room to try this sexy move, it might be sexy, but I've really got to signpost that more. In my head, it is literally like you just stopped halfway through and just left the room. That's just weird. As you leave, you've got to be given the eyes. You've got to be being like... You want more
I'll
of
be
that?
Back in
no,
a minute.
I'm too. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be back in a minute. Yeah, it's like, oh, and then you come
standing
back.
Standing in the doorway, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's class.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. People on YouTube, you're going to love it. You're going to love one.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
I mean, those things are quite difficult. And if you know, when you do have insecurities or fears about sex, I mean, people can end up very much in their own heads. So it doesn't help if somebody else does something surprising like that.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, in the vacancy she left in the room, it was filled with all of this person's hang-ups and fears. That's just a bit of poetry for you. I don't know if you guys are into that. Do you like that? What do you think?
Penguins. Okay. Oh, penguin.
Oh, penguin. The penguin's back.
Penguin. And... penguin did not like that.
Penguin did not like that. He's going to flounce off and flap off. All right. Oh, God, all the bumping on the table is killing me. Listen, look at these massive headphones I've got on. It's ridiculous.
What about them?
Well, I'm getting these bumps. They're so loud in
my
ears.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, blame the penguin. It's not me.
That's a good point. Now, what the penguin's not getting a mackerel from me. He's not getting his mackerel back.
Oh, no, it's crying. Sorry.
It's crying. Well, Mum's comforting the penguin. This is going to be great. I was thinking we should do an episode this series on vaginas and vulvas and the clitoris and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, like, maybe I should order from Amazon or something. Like, there are little ones that you can get to sort of show people different areas and stuff. Maybe we'll just use the penguin as like a... He can be like our demonstrator. I mean, I don't know what we're...
Got no genitals.
Yeah, but maybe he could be someone we point to different points on his body to sort of do the pointing.
But we could get a knitted. If anyone out there's got a knitted vagina, could we borrow it, please?
How does that work? I've heard of vajazzle, but knitted.
Oh yeah, you can have a or crocheted. You can.
Happening now?
They use them in antenatal classes and things. Yeah, it's just knitted, little vulvas. You can have a knitted vulva, a knitted vagina. They show the baby's head coming through and what do you mean?
I thought people were going into a shop and being like, knit this.
Your imagination.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
No.
And whose fault is that?
Just imagine he's saying, anyone out there got a knitted vagina? Can we borrow it? If it was attached to them. Is that likely?
Hello. This is a lovely woman called Deirdre. She's come in. She knitted her own vagina and she's brought in for us today. Hop on the chair.
I tell you what, a lot of people are very anxious about smear tests and things like that.
Well, I think maybe we'll cover that. I really do think we should do it. I think we're going to do a deep dive, pardon the pun, on vaginas and vulvas and everything going on there, because I have a theory. I wonder what the penguin makes of this. Here we go, that a lot of men don't go down on women, not because they think it's disgusting or anything, but because they're scared. They're constantly told, men don't know where the clit is, this, that, and the other, so we can fix that problem.
Mm. Right, one of the other things is, what you were kind of referring to earlier, the way people get into the same moves all the time.
The sexual script.
Yeah, sexual script. They often do that when they've been put off or the partner's been put off something. In one moment, they don't like that move. They want you to stop it. And so they say, they either move themselves out of the way or move your hand or whatever. And then people cut that out of the repertoire, even though it may only have been in that moment the person didn't want that thing. And then you end up with deficit sex. So the moves you have left, the sexual script you have left, is just all the leftovers after you've cut all the other stuff out. And actually, both partners are probably still thinking, I miss that thing.
Yeah, even though that one time... I
didn't want you to do that because it had got uncomfortable, like my leg had gone to sleep or something. You know. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mum, as always. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I mean, if you'd like to send us in questions, we are doing pretty well at answering pretty much all of them. So all the details will be in our socials. We're at Real Sex Ed Pod, or like I said, in the bio of this episode, bio of our Instagram, everything like that. Make sure you're subscribed to wherever you're listening to or watching this podcast right now, because you do not want to miss out on all the stuff we've just talked about, which we've got coming up. What does that mean?
You want us to plop into your inbox. You want us to plop into your downloads. You want us to stream
Don't say stream and plop. When we're talking, moist. Why have you done that? Moist. Okay, we need to have a serious talk about this. Okay, everyone, we'll see you next time for some more real sex education. After I've had a strong word with Mum.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.